Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. The Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes and chapter number 2. Ecclesiastes and chapter number 2. We've been steadily going through this wonderful book of Ecclesiastes to be able to see the observations of a wise king who has lived his last several years without regard to God. And now he's making an honest observation of his life and seeing where life without regard brings him, brings anyone, and that the results are not unique to Solomon. The results are going to be universal for anyone who tries to live their life without regard to God. Trying to live their life without God's power, without God's presence, without God's fellowship, leads to an empty life. Notice, if you don't mind, as we hit the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes in chapter number 2. Ecclesiastes chapter number 2. And if you don't mind, let's start in verse number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1. I said in mine heart, go now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. And I said of laughter, it is madness of mirth. What doth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. And I made me great works, and I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water, to water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the son of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept them not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiceth in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And if you don't mind, as we look here, notice where it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 11, notice what he said, all was vanity. All was vanity. And with this, let's look and examine this idea with this question, is this all that there is? Is this all that there is? And what a question to ask. That here Solomon had everything in life. And examining everything that he had, and when he was all said and done, the question was, is this all that there is? Is this it? Is this all? Again, he's looking at his life. And he's lived his last 15, 20 years without regard to God. He's been doing it all himself. He's been doing it with his own strength. And he's gotten quite a bit accomplished. And with this, he's looking and saying, after all I accomplished, all that I got done, is this all that there is? Notice again in verse number 10, Ecclesiastes 2:10. He says, and whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept them not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, but my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked at all the works and that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Solomon looked at all of his accomplished, and he's saying, is this it? A man works for everything he desires. He's gotten everything he set out to do. And yet he's looking. It's all empty. It's all empty. That's it. He's not satisfied. He's looking and saying, it just leaves me more empty. I got all of these accomplishments, and it's empty. It's empty. Hold your finger here and turn with me to the conclusion of the matter at the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, after Solomon makes all these observations, he comes with a final conclusion. What is the conclusion of the whole matter? So he's starting off by saying this is empty, all of this is empty. If you can imagine someone at the end of their life, let's say that they died and was able to send a message back. If they were able to live a successful life. Now, we're not talking about someone who was a loser all of their life. We're not talking about someone who didn't accomplish anything. We're talking about someone who was an expert of everything that he did. And when he looks back at his life, he could send a message like this and saying, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He says, let me tell you the conclusion of the whole matter. Don't waste your life living for yourself.
Amen. Amen.
He says, fear God and obey what he told you to do, and you'll have a life worth living. Because without listening to God, life is empty. Now, if there was one thing that we could get across to all of the world, if there is something that every preacher feels like grabbing a hold of people and looking at them on, is this. Listen. The conclusion of the whole matter is that there is a real God, and that when you follow after him, it makes life worth it. But when you ignore God, when you try to live your day without God, all you're going to come up with is emptiness. You know, you could work your whole life and be successful in your job and then say, what was the point? You could work really hard and gain all the money that you want and then look and say, what was the point? You could try to go through all of the entertainment, all the fun you want. And at the end, what was the point? What was the point? And yet people are absorbed in trying to make this life the best that they can. And at the very end, what's the point? What's the point? My life is so empty. So with that in mind, turn with me if you don't mind. And let's look at Ecclesiastes, and let's look at these things that were empty in his life. As Solomon, again, we appreciate Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived, and he makes a big deal of saying in chapter 2 that he still had his wisdom. Even though he wasn't living his life regard to God, God had still granted him wisdom. And he is making wise observations about his life. And we appreciate someone who is honest. You know, there's a lot of people who, you guys, answer the question for me. How are you doing?
Fine.
Fine. And it's not fine, but they're not being honest. They're trying to put on, oh, everything's all right. I'm doing great. I'm wonderful. And they're so empty inside, but they don't feel like they could be honest to let people know. Here, Solomon is being honest. He's taking an honest look at his life, and he's saying, it's all empty. Notice, if you don't mind, first of all, an empty head. An empty head. Is this all that there is? With this, let's jump back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and kind of recap what we had saw before. That here Solomon had lived his life studying and trying to get to know. He was a brilliant man, probably one of the most intelligent people who had ever lived, and had given himself to not just know something about a subject, but to know everything about a subject. He was one of the most brilliant, knowledgeable people there was. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and notice with me in verse number 12. Ecclesiastes 12, chapter 1, verse 12. And I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek out and search by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. Meaning, I gave my heart to search and know everything about everything that I possibly could. I studied and I sought it out. I wanted to know about this. He says, and this is sore travail that God had given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with my own heart, saying, lo, I have come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than they all that have been before me in Jerusalem. And yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is also vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increased knowledge increased sorrow. Here Solomon said, I gave my heart to know wisdom. I came to know everything that I possibly could. I wanted to answer every question in life. I wanted to study. Remember that Solomon was someone who just didn't study animals. He became a zoologist. He didn't just study plants. He became a botanist. He studied and knew, tried to know everything. He knew things about science. He was someone who's very learned. He gave himself in his life. And when it's all said and done, he said, it's empty. You know, if you look at America's budget and look at what is spent, the thing that is spent most in America, believe it or not, is education. More money is spent on education than any other area inside of our American budget. And yet, with all of the knowledge, with all of the education, with all the things that are available, it doesn't satisfy people's lives. You can know more and more about less and less. They know all kinds of things in their life, but it doesn't help them to come to the truth. The Bible speaks about, and we're not going to turn there, but let me just quote it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, it says that these people were ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That they learned more and more, but they were never able to come to anything substantial. He had an empty head. Can you imagine knowing someone who knows more about any other subject? You could go to these great scientists who even live in our time and be able to talk to them and to see that they have a wealth of knowledge. But when it's all said and done, what good does that knowledge do if they still have an empty life, a life that doesn't satisfy, a life that is not fulfilled, a life that is empty? We have an empty head. Think about how many people give their lives to have more and more knowledge, to study more and more. They give themselves to know everything about a subject. They dedicate their lives and spend a lot of time. But education doesn't satisfy. It's God that satisfies. It's God that we need. Notice not only an empty head, but we see an empty heart. An empty heart. Look with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? He says that he gave himself over to pleasure. Think about this. Solomon enjoyed all the pleasure that he wanted. If there was something that he felt like would please him, he had the opportunity to go and grab it. Even to the idea that he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had pleasure of all sorts, whatever he wanted. anything that he wanted. The Bible speaks about Solomon's menu for one day and just to see all the food that's available. So imagine this, that you could have whatever pleasure you want. There was no dollar amount that you couldn't have. You could eat whatever you want. So if you wanted Burger King every day, you could have Burger King. If you wanted Golden Corral every day, you could have Golden Corral. You could go to whatever you want, whatever restaurant. You could have whatever chef could make you whatever. You don't have to go out. You could have someone make you whatever you want. You just have a craving, they have it available. You could have whatever food you want. You could have whatever enjoyment you want. Think about someone today that has every Xbox, every computer game, every PlayStation game, every handheld controller. They have all of it. So anytime they want to play, they can play. They have all the books, all the access to the books they want. They could read whatever they want. They could spend time whatever they want. They could play whatever game they want. They could have whatever, you know, no pleasure is withheld from them. And yet, none of it satisfies. It just leaves them more and more empty. You know, the attitude of this world is all about pleasure. Even modern psychologists today will instruct people that if there's anything that would keep you back from your pleasure, get rid of it so you could enjoy life. But that's bad advice, because you could get as much pleasure as you want, and you could try to come to the conclusion that I just enjoy all the life that I can. But life without regard to God is just going to lead to more emptiness. Here's Solomon, who has an empty head. He knows a lot of things, but it's left him empty. He's got an empty heart. He set himself to have as much pleasure as he possibly could, and he had access to, and he set himself to it. And he's left with an empty heart. So many people today are just living for the moment now, and they just have an empty life, and they feel like they have to have more pleasure to try to fill in that empty life. Again, the conclusion of the matter is to do what God says. God knows what he's doing. Again, if we could grab a hold of people and just say, listen, just obey God. It will fix things. Just obey what God says. Do it God's way. Stop doing it your way. But people ignore it and try to do it themselves, try to do it their own way, and it leaves them more empty, less fulfilled, less satisfied. It's almost like God knows what he's doing. Not only did he have an empty head and an empty heart, but he had empty hands. He had empty hands. Notice with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. We had talked about before in our series of the life and ministry of Solomon, his great building projects, that it wasn't just the temple, even though the old temple was considered one of the seven ancient wonders of the ancient world. It was one of the wonders that people would go to and go, wow. But not only did he build that, he spent 13 years building his own house. He built all kinds of other things. He set himself as a master builder. He is someone that was full of ambition. Have you ever met someone who is very ambitious, and through their ambition, they got a lot of things accomplished? By the way, man can get some things accomplished by his will. Solomon was someone who studied, someone who enjoyed life, but someone who got so much accomplished in my life. Some people think that if I could just be successful, that would satisfy me. But Solomon's saying, I have all the success you can imagine. Solomon still goes down in history as one of the greatest builders of all of time. So think about this. If we were to look at Solomon in the light of history, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. Solomon had more knowledge than anybody of his day. Solomon had access to more pleasure than anyone else in all time. And he also had more accomplished, more successful than anyone else in almost all of history. This is someone that the history book says, this is what you should attain to. This is someone who's smart, someone who got a lot of things done. And yet Solomon, after all of those accolades, after all those accomplishments, says, it's all empty. It's not worth it. All of those buildings, who cares? All of this knowledge, no big deal. He says, all of it has left me so empty. Again, if there was one thing that we could get people's attention on, to wave them down and say, listen, I'm trying to help. Stop doing it yourself. Do it the way that God said to do it. Hold your finger, or turn with me back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. At the very end of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. As you're turning there, we deal with people with suicidal ideologies all the time. Why? What causes someone to get to that place? They've lost hope. What have they lost hope? Because they feel like life is not worth it. It's so empty. So what if I do this? It's not going to matter. So what if I get this accomplished? It's not going to matter. You know, when we think of people who follow through with a suicide, it's not just people who are down and out. Successful people commit suicides all the time. People who have accomplished a lot in their lives. People who are successful in school and they know quite a bit. People who are entertainers, who have gotten all the fame and fortune you could want. You see, it's not just one type of people. It covers it all. Why? What would be the common denominator? An empty life. They're left with an empty head, empty heart, empty hands. They look back and say, all that I have accomplished doesn't matter for anything. Again, Solomon, who has taken an honest look at his life. Again, he's not right with God. He's just taking an honest look at his life. And we appreciate that honesty. Notice with me in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, once again, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. What is it that makes a life worth living? What is it that makes the life that we're in successful, that worth it? Just doing it God's way. When people try to do it their own way, they're going to end up empty. But when people finally say, you know what, I'm going to find out what God has to say, and I'm going to do it the way God wants to do it. Again, as a preacher, it feels like most of my job is just saying, just stop trying it your way. Stop trying to do it your way. Stop trying to figure it out with your own thing. Do it what God said. He knows what he's doing. He's always right. That's the conclusion. How many marriages? They've tried everything they can to make the marriage work, but it still falls apart just because they wouldn't do it God's way and they kept trying to do it their way. How many times people have tried to raise kids on their own strength and their own intellect, and it doesn't work out. And they could have just done it God's way, and it works every time because God knows what he's doing. People trying to go through life and trying to do everything their own way. God has already listed it down. He said, this works. Just stop doing it your way. Stop trying. Do it the way that God said to do and let God work. When people are doing it themselves, all they're left with is an empty life, empty head, empty hands, empty heart. But turn with me, if you don't mind, to the New Testament. Let's show the reverse of this, the opposite of this. What happens when we have someone who learns how to look at God? Ephesians, if you don't mind, the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. When we learn to trust God and we learn to do it God's way and we learn to find out what the Bible has to say about a matter and do it that way, let me show you what God is able to do. When we do it our way and we try to do it with our own strength, our own intellect, our own know-how, we just end up empty and frustrated. We have nothing to replace it with. We lose hope. Oh, what a horrible place it is to be in a place where you don't have any hope. No hope where this will be fixed. No hope where this situation will ever be solved. They're left without hope. But when we finally get to the place where we surrender and say, God, I'm going to do it your way. What is the promise that God gives to us? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Notice what the Bible says. Now unto him that is able, I'm thankful that he is able, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know what we have? We have a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Exceedingly abundantly above. When we do it God's way, it is amazing to see what will happen in someone's life. When someone stops struggling and trying to do it themselves, trying to do it the way that the human psychologists say, trying to do it how the human advisors say, and they just say, I'm going to surrender, do it God's way. You know what God is able to do? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can think or ask. Think about that. I can think quite a bit. I don't know about you, but I've got a good imagination. But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think. How? Me just doing it God's way. Me finding out what does the Bible have to say about having a good marriage and do that, and God is able to do exceedingly above. If I find out what God has to say about raising children and I do that, God is able to do exceedingly above. Oh, if I figure out what to do about how to live my life, you know what God is able to do? Exceedingly abundantly above. God is the God who's able to fulfill. When we do it God's way, we're not left empty. We're left going, wow, what a God. What a God, because he is able to do more than we can do ourselves. People need to finally get to the place where they're stop trying to do it their own way, realizing their way doesn't work. What is the conclusion of the whole matter? To fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Solomon said, if I could just tell someone, why is Solomon writing this? He's writing this to try to tell everyone, stop doing it your own way. I tried it. I was the test case. It didn't work. And if it wouldn't work for me, it's not going to work for you. None of you are smarter than I, Solomon's saying. None of you have more access to pleasure than I. None of you have more ambition than I. He said, if it doesn't work for me, it's not going to work for you. So the only thing I could tell you is don't have the empty life that I have. Just do what God said in the first place. Find out what God has to say about the matter and do that. And you will have a life worth living. You will have a life that is exceedingly, abundantly above. Isn't that sound a lot better than vanity? Vanity. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. I'd rather have the exceedingly, abundantly above. Where does that come from? When I give up trying to do it my way. You see, you either do it God's way or you think you know better. That's the problem. Well, I don't need to raise kids the way that God said to. I'll do it my way. I don't have to live my marriage the way that I want to do it. I can do it the way that I think. I think I've got this. I know what to do. God knows what to do better. He made us. He knows what works. He knows where we're going to fail. We've all got to the place sometime in our life where we felt like we're just spinning our tires and it's not working. And the more that I try, the more that I'm getting bogged down in the dirt. We finally surrender and say, all right, God, you do it. You tell me what to do and I'll obey. And we start obeying and watch God do exceedingly abundantly above. Oh, the problem is that we don't get to that place where we finally say, I give up. We have the idea that I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try it again. And this time it worked. This time I've got it. This time. And it doesn't work each and every time. That's the whole purpose of Ecclesiastes. Solomon's waving his arms saying, I'm trying to help you out. I tried it. And it didn't work. Don't do it this way. Go back, find out what God has to say, and do that. And watch a real God who's up in heaven do exceedingly, abundantly above. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.